Yeah, I think it'll mostly consist of the education outreach and the manager's report at this point. I am speaking for the other working groups at this point. I don't know if it'll be a report.
I think you're having some connection issues, Brendan, if you can hear us.
Yeah, hold on a second. I had to pull the rest of the internet system going on in the house. Rural areas, man. You only get so much bandwidth. Okay, so I'll just call the meeting to order at this point if we have enough folks present and accounted for. So you're recording, it sounded like?
Yes.
Okay, good deal. All right, March 2nd, Clean Water Commission meeting call to order. I'm going to start with... I'm sure you called yourself president. My whole thing froze out there for a second.
Yeah, you froze.
I'm hoping this doesn't continue. My apologies. I had issues earlier today at work with it. I believe Michelle is absent. Roger?
He accepted the invite. So it may just be a little late.
All right. Currently not present. Jeff?
Present.
Thank you. Marie? I'm not seeing Marie. No. Sandra?
Present.
Josh? Seed?
Present.
Thank you. And Robert? I don't see him currently. Okay. All right, so next I would say we have the approval of minutes here. I'm going to say that I have had no time to look at these because these came in earlier today and I have been at work as of a half hour ago. So unless anybody else, we have enough quorum to approve them, I'm going to table this list until the next one if folks can review it in the meantime. Okay.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So if folks will have time to look through those between now and the next meeting, we can approve them at that point. Do we have any public comment, Alice?
No, I just actually checked Reddit 625 and there was no public comment.
Quick point, Brendan, when you say the next meeting, do you mean the next regular meeting for the minutes or do you want to do that at the special meeting, which I think is later this month, if I'm not mistaken? You're frozen.
Am I back yet?
Yeah.
All right. If we can clear them at the special meeting, I'm fine with that. Just as long as folks have time to look at them. Okay. Eric, are you ready for education outreach report?
Yeah, sure. I don't have a ton to update. But got some good news from the Watershed Alliance today. Our partners in the Don't Trip and Drive program, which has been on a 2-year hiatus during COVID. We've been wanting to pilot a workshop format. For those of you who aren't familiar, this program is meant to help, drivers identify and get leaks fixed. It was a program developed up in the Puget Sound. And so originally we had been doing a lot of leak check events where we would go out to public events and ask people if they would like to have their car checked for leaks. And we have a sheet we slip under their car and leave them some information, including a coupon to get their leak fixed with a discount at some participating auto shops around town. And we've been wanting to try some workshops because, it's a little bit more kind of interactive with people and help to overcome more of the barriers to getting vehicle leaks fixed. A major challenge for that has been finding a venue and finding people willing to instruct and participate and support the workshop. So today they just gave me some news that they finally kind of reached out and made a good connection with Cascadia Tech, the school out in Southeast, or I think it's near Camas or in between Camas and Vancouver area. It's a vocational school, and they have a automotive professional kind of track. And so they're willing to host some workshops in their 8-bay facility. And so the students will be participating and kind of acting as instructors while being supervised, or support automotive professionals while they're being supervised by their teacher. So it seems like a really cool partnership, and I'm excited to kind of get that program off. We have one more year to spend down the rest of this grant money. And so it was great news to get that, kind of get that excitement back going for this program. The student video contest, we've been getting a lot more publicity lately. We were in the Reflector a week ago, and if you read that article, you'll see some quotes from me that have varying degree of accuracy. But it was good to get the publicity out there, and then the City of Vancouver is putting it out in their newsletter. It was in the Clark County FYI today, so it's getting around. We haven't had any submissions yet, but you know how that kind of thing is. You know, if I can give you 6 days or 6 months, but you're going to get it in the last 2 days. So it's kind of like one of those. Just continuing to be excited about that. And we'll be meeting with partners about that. I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks to kind of make sure that we finish strong with this contest. I'm meeting with our partners on the Pet Waste Behavior Change Program this Friday. So at that meeting, we'll kind of be talking about any changes that we want to implement for the program in light of our pilot program. And so considering a couple of trail possibilities, potentially at Lewisville Park, the section of trail that goes right along the river there, and also potentially Salmon Creek Greenway, and where it heads up at on 36th Avenue there. So I can give a better update on that next time we meet, and we'll be ready to kick things off at that time. So it's kind of not really my outreach stuff, but it has some relation. The Washington Stormwater Center got funding from Ecology to have a 1-year temporary full-time employee as a statewide education and outreach coordinator. And this position was created at the request of STORM, which is the Puget Sounds Regional Partnership. And they have been struggling to fund a coordinator to do a lot of the admin and coordination tasks required for their partnership. They have work groups, of course, but you know, tying all that stuff together does take time and energy and resources, and their funding for that person is running out at the end of June, or maybe it's May this year. So they asked Ecology, hey, can you just fund a storm coordinator for us? And they said, Ecology said, well, you know, we kind of need to make it statewide. So I've been kind of attending a couple of meetings on working on the work plan for that, and giving input from Southwest Washington on what type of support we would like to see that coordinator provide for jurisdictions down here. I'm excited about it. And, you know, once that position kind of gets up and running, I'll be able to fill you in more. But it looks like they should be able to support some of the admin tasks for, you know, coordinating stormwater partners as a group, maybe try to get back on more regular quarterly meetings, at least for the permittees involved, and then also help facilitate and note take and things like that. So I'm really looking forward and welcoming that support. Another thing that I'm not sure if you guys have seen this or not, I've sent it out to the Stormwater Partners, but I think I might have just sent it maybe just to Brendan, but if it hasn't got around all the way yet, I can send it to Alice. It's the Clean Rivers Coalition Forum, which is on March 31st from 9 to 12. The Clean Rivers Coalition is basically an Oregon stormwater partners, but it's statewide. I'm also on the steering committee because they welcomed us there too, because, you know, in a lot of ways we share the Columbia and we share all of our media. So, obviously most of the Oregon population is right next door across the river. So, so that'll be a neat thing, that I would encourage you to attend if you can. And I guess if it doesn't make a public meeting requirement, which is the one thing. But yeah, either way, I'm happy to report back out about that. They'll be kind of giving some updates on the grant that they received 2 years ago for their pesticide reduction outreach program. And they'll also be able to, give some more updates on their, on some of the future work that they're, working on to continue that program, into behavior change programs, this next year. They haven't got the EPA grant yet, but I think they're submitting it, this week or next. So, other than that, I've got a kind of a fun thing with, Odyssey Middle School, which is a Camas School District school. Kind of supporting, they have this, Washington Water Works program that they're doing. And so I'll kind of be going in a couple of days to help mentor and help judge the presentations. The kids are going to be developing some different, campaigns and programs to support clean water. So it's a fun activity to kind of, as an exercise for kids to getting in the real world, how you solve problems, with water quality issues. And so I think that's really all I've got, and I'm happy to answer any questions if you've got them.
Not seeing any questions from folks unless I'm cutting anybody off. But yeah, thank you for the update on that, Eric. I'm happy to hear that the Don't Trip and Drive, they found a location to work with that. And I will say my daughter saw the video contest bit and was very interested. I told her I wasn't sure what might arise, from her submitting something and be like, hey, her dad knows Eric. I don't know. But she's interested in coming up with something.
Oh, that is great news. Yeah, if you've got kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews or anyone in your family who's grades 6 to 12 and they go to school in Clark County, let them know that they can win $500. I think that's all you got to say, right? And then,
they have to be grade 6 to 12. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, she's got to wait until, August to be sixth grade.
Oh, okay. Well, we plan on doing it again next year. It's been a great partnership. The judge, we get private businesses to give the cash donations and they also help with judging. So, it's a real community event and, we just kind of get to sit back here and, watch all the fun videos come in and then at the end, recognize these students' hard work, at like movie at the park events and, get them out there and sharing with the community. So,
We did go through and watch the, all the examples from last year. I know you showcased one of them for us, but we were able to see the other ones out there. So there's some great stuff they've come up with and, it's good. It's also great, the donors that have put in. I think it's really motivating for the youth to be like, $100 prizes, multiple $100 prizes.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, and CVTV is going to be doing a short FYI promotional video on that as well that I think I'm expecting to see it this evening. It's due tomorrow, the videographer said. So once that gets out, I'll share that on some of our pages and you can check it out there too.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. And I'll sign off for now. So thanks everyone for your time and have a great evening.
Thanks, Eric. Do the same. For the record, I was going to note that Marie has joined us. And I just turned off my video, hoping that that'll help with some of the buffering issues here. So next up, manager's report, Justin.
Hi, everybody. Well, I guess I'll start with we successfully survived year-end closeout for 2021. I know that's a slog for some people getting through all the financial closeout and trying to corral people into their deadlines. So that's less me than others, but hats off to them for making it through that first off. With that done, we've kind of gotten to turn our focus to 2022 a little bit more heavily. And for me, at least, that has involved sort of revisiting the staffing evaluation that I started when I started this job in the first place, what, 7 months ago now? Eight? It's hard to believe it's been that long. That has been in conjunction with some other efforts that we've started to dive into, and all of it is kind of related to the 20-year plan that, I guess started coming up over a year ago, I think, was when Jeff introduced that idea and got some of us involved in talking about the 20-year planning process and outlining what that might look like. A big piece of that has been potentially looking into starting a pipe inspection program. We have a lot of very old pipe. I think it's, if I remember right, I'm going from memory here, it's about 400 miles worth of pipe. There has been emergency repairs on that system, as one might expect. We are trying to find ways to get ahead of those. And one of those has been looking into traditional CCTV equipment and getting our hands on a vehicle outfitted with essentially a camera on an RC car. Those more traditional rigs are extremely expensive. It's a big capital investment. And I think the life cycle on it is $500,000 or more. But some light at the end of the tunnel on that. Maybe within the first month that I started, a company called Deep Trekker actually reached out to me on LinkedIn, and it was kind of a cold marketing message, but it's actually led somewhere interesting. We had a demo with one of their people. They're out of Canada, actually, but they make inspection crawlers that are actually battery operated, and they last 5 or 6 hours. So, I mean, it'll carry a maintenance crew member for an entire day through inspecting sections of pipe up to 1,300 feet long, I think, at once. So we took this out to one of the most complicated pieces of pipe in the entire unincorporated area, through the sales rep a little bit for a loop, but he got it in there and we got through it. It was a really cool demo. The ops guys were really enthusiastic about it, and that's part of my current efforts right now. Is while we're looking into sort of our long-term maintenance, facility replacement, staffing costs, I'm trying to get that whole process kick-started, because now we don't need to tell council that we need a $500,000 investment for that. It's roughly $75,000 to get that whole program kick-started. The other side of that, though, is Clean Water having enough staff to start putting together a rating system and looking at the video that comes out of that. So at the moment, with year-end closeout last year done and knowing where we stood on the budget last year, we underspent a bit. And that's not terribly surprising, because staffing was difficult all around throughout Public Works last year. There's a number of places where, you know, we weren't able to get enough temp workers, I believe, for vegetation management early in the summer, for example. So we caught up a little bit on some of that, but didn't spend our entire budget there. That leaves us a little bit of room to start looking into kickstarting this program some. So we're hoping to seize on that opportunity here in the short term, while we look at a full fee study and a full staffing evaluation and bringing that to the county manager and council. So I've started down that path. We're just kind of thinking it through. There's one last element of it that involves potentially getting a little bit of surveying equipment to enable us to do smaller jobs within Clean Water and not have to rely on a heavily overworked survey crew. So once that's through, I think we'll have a pretty comprehensive staff report together to send up to the county manager for her to consider and see if she's on our side on all of this. But that project position that I'm looking at getting, requisitioned and staffed here, would support us starting that pipe inspection program and starting down the path of really developing a 20-year plan. The element that, some of us are working on right now of that 20-year plan, kind of includes really looking at what the implications of having facilities start to age out on us are. So we've started looking at life cycle costs for all of our existing infrastructure, which is a big undertaking. I think the final count on publicly owned facilities this year was something around 1,620. And that's up from, again, I'm going from memory here, but I believe in 2016, there were 920 facilities that were publicly owned. So we're keeping up right now, but we need to make sure it stays that way. And that's my focus at the moment, at least. Lots of balls up in the air, but I think we're using our time to look ahead right now while kind of trying to seize on some near-term opportunity with the pipe inspection and 20-year planning programs.
Not envious of that position, Justin. Do you feel like you get a good response with trying to advocate the spending for this long-term forecast, or is it still kind of that motto of does it need to be paid for right now?
That's what we want to find out. Honestly, with the fee study right now, we're trying to make it as airtight and comprehensive as possible. And that's why what we're starting with is these life cycle cost analysis and a staffing study. Ideally, I'm seeing like 6 new positions being added, but adding those right away may not be an option. And that's why we're kind of grabbing at the low-hanging fruit right now. There are a lot of different reasons for adding that many positions, but I mean, like I said, private facilities have actually mirrored public facilities and growth. Just about the same numbers, actually, both in 2016 and now. And private facilities are the ones that really actually take up clean water staff time. Jeff does a lot of coordination with ops on the publicly owned facilities. Which obviously we do, that's a cost for us too out of our fund, in terms of maintenance and replacement. But staff time, is actually taken up by the private facilities, in inspection. So we have 3 inspectors, 2 really inspectors, and then, Bob, who's the source control. He visits businesses more than, private facilities. So really it comes down to we have 2 kind of full-time private facility inspectors, and we had 2 back in 2016-17-ish with that much facility growth. So, between that and the fact that code enforcement caseload isn't slowing down with growth in the county, monitoring work isn't going anywhere with the permit revisions. I'm sure it'll only, grow if anything. And then we have this long-term comprehensive planning effort that requires staff time.
So just as a curious citizen, you see the issue in your position. Who else would you have to convince to make your life easier?
That depends on the results of the fee study, and that's kind of why we're approaching that first. We kind of need to be able to tell whether we can stomach having more full-time staff members in the near term on our current budget and on the current fee we collect. Being an enterprise fund that's funded entirely by a fee collected specifically for this purpose is a double-edged sword. It's great because it means we have a, you know, we have money to spend on for these purposes, for management of our stormwater systems and our MS4s. But at the same time, as the county grows, and more of these facilities come online and more start to age out, it involves going and studying whether that fee needs to change, which needs to go to council for approval. And it needs to be generally accepted by the public that, you know, residents of unincorporated Clark County may end up paying a little bit more over time to keep these systems maintained. So that's what we need to figure out. And if we don't do that now, if we end up doing that last minute, what we could see is we could start overspending what, you know, past what we collect every year. It's happened before, and being reactive about it isn't something I'm interested in doing. I'd rather think ahead on this and educate council and educate the public to whatever extent necessary on why this needs to change and why we need to, you know, be proactive about it.
Well, in that spirit, is there any consideration for the council, this body, putting any voice behind that? And it's kind of been a while since we've done anything proactively to speak up, which, you know, has been a concern of mine in general. I don't want to rock the boat too much for you in the new position, but as you said, time's gone by. You got a little tenure now, so maybe we can ruffle some feathers for you.
I think there's something to be said for it. And I think right now, as it stands in the annual report, one of the recommendations is that you guys support adequate staffing of the Clean Water Division. Adding emphasis to that as this process goes on and as we develop this fee study and start bringing it to council, I think can't hurt. And the time just needs to be right.
Right. And with that, I know we talked about this several months ago, and there was kind of a feeling that we kind of wanted to wait with everybody in the new positions and getting into your reviews and stuff. So coming back to that.
I think we're going to see a lot of progress on this over the next couple of months. Andrea plays a really big part of this. I don't know that many of you have met Andrea at this point. She was actually Eric's supervisor up until the reorg.
Andrea Loeb?
I'm sorry?
Loeb?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So Marie and I both, I know.
Yeah. I figured since you two have a little bit more tenure on the commission, you might know who she is. But just for background's sake, when the reorg took effect, Eric moved into essentially the Public Works Communications group so that he had a little more communication support. Andrea actually served the dual role of working on education and outreach, but also doing a lot of like heavily finance stuff for Clean Water Division. She has since moved over to the Business Services and Finance group in Public Works, and she's still pretty well dedicated to clean water in that sense. But she has a lot more financial tools at her disposal at this point. And just general support in that area. So she's going to be pretty instrumental in getting that fee study together. And her familiarity with how clean water operates doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I don't have a real creative idea right away right now, but I know this conversation has come up before with regard to trying to put together a letter to advocate, you know, to this end of supporting staffing and funding, particularly with an eye towards long term and not just like what the immediate need is. So I'll put a note in here to revisit that and start some conversation with that moving forward. I don't know if anybody else has anything to add on that at this point too.
If there's opportunity to support the immediate need too, you know, it's something that I'd imagine you guys might hear about coming up here in the next couple of months. You know, we're trying to make that fit with, there's a couple of budget amendment periods each year. And then actually budgeting for next year. So, timing it right with those times, I think is going to be the best way to go about doing it.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can at least start putting something together. I'm sure the wording and the problem would stay the same. You can just tell us when you want to submit it.
No, I appreciate it. It's, you know, the other aspect of this is we do have some people who inevitably there are going to be retirements. It's like right. that across the board in public works. I mean, we've been experiencing it the last few months. People have started deciding it's time to retire. I've told Rod that he's not allowed to retire, but I don't think he's taking me seriously. And for those who don't know, Rod Swanson is actually, he's pretty much primarily responsible for putting together our stormwater management plan, with help from everybody else in Clean Water on their parts and with Alice on getting it all assembled and formatted, and doing the annual reporting required by the permit, which actually is the next part of my update. Annual report is actually due at the end of March. He's made pretty good progress in getting it put together. There's just, we do rely on other parts of public works and other parts of the county, particularly community development, and a little bit from facilities actually to, report about their activities and, stormwater relevant training and things like that. So, we just have a couple of those reports left to put together, and then Rod assembles the annual report and gets it to the county manager to sign and submit. So he's been working pretty hard at that. He'll be driving towards that at the end of this month.
Good deal.
We are actually in good shape as far as compliance goes. Inspectors for both public and private facilities hit as many and then some as the permit requires. You know, we got our 6-year capital plan updated, and Jeff is, I think he has finished updating the stormwater structural controls program section of the stormwater management plan. So we're in pretty good shape.
Excellent. Well done over there, Justin. Happy it's working out. Anything else from folks for Justin before I pass it over to Alice? Seeing none. Thank you, Justin, again, and Alice, staff liaison report.
Yeah. Just a reminder that new Clean Water Commissioners, and also potentially Matt, if you wanted to attend, it might be good. One of the things that we are going to do is, in the new Clean Water Commission training on March 9th, is we're going to have, Eric is going to do the Enviroscape demonstration. And we're going to do it virtually, but, because as of right now, we still haven't been okayed to meet in person, so with that many people. So what we're going to do, but we're going to have a demonstration and also a number of other presentations and dive into some of the things that people were asking and having questions about that were at the last meeting. And I definitely do apologize. This has not been a normal time period for me. So I do apologize greatly. It's not how I normally have done and run this. So so we'll be doing that. And there's a number of different things. And then one of the other big things is the OPMA, which stands for the Open Public Meetings Act, and the PDR, the public records requests. It's really, really important that any business that you do via email, you CC me on it. And that you use your Clean Water Commissioner email. That way, if there was a public records request, you don't have to submit your personal information for IT to go through your computer and your email accounts and things like that. That's why we have the partition set up the way we do. So strongly suggest and encourage you to do that. I am still waiting to hear from IT, and I'm going to rattle their cages yet again, Jeff, on seeing if there is another way. We're developing or going back to the shared document folder at the county. The reason also we can't have you guys have one and share it that way is public records request. Need to be able to have that so we can do it. And generally speaking, especially when you're coordinating meetings and things like that, you know, I just see it's coming in and I just, you know, they get deleted right away. But that way, if they ever needed to, they could pull it and have the record. So that's just something that I want to make sure everybody's aware of, and that there aren't big discussions. You can't have a conversation on email about a document or about topics because that is that could be considered a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. So I do this every year. I usually do it in January, but since I was out couldn't make the meeting, I'm doing it now. So just the annual reminder, I believe all of, I think Brendan, Josh, Michelle, and Mary will probably need to update theirs this fall. I'm going to double check on that. And I keep record and I keep copies of all of the certificates. And I believe I've gotten everybody's. And then I'll also send out, or it'll be a part of the training, the video permission, the photography permission slip so that, you know, we can take a picture of you and put it on the front of the annual report. I'm hoping that soon maybe we can get back into being in person. So that's kind of a general overview, big picture stuff of some of the things going on. I'm really excited about, I've already lined up a number of speakers. We're going to have for some of the more senior members, you'll remember Carrie coming in and talking about the private facility inspection. So he and Rich Wonky are going to come in and talk about that at the March 30th meeting. And then also Elaine Placido from Lower Columbia Estuary Program Partnership is going to come in, and LSEP is going to talk about their partnership that they have with the Vancouver Lake Steering Committee that Clean Water is a part of, and is a part of an educational outreach program that we run for fourth graders to get out and really have a hands-on experience with the water and the lake in that area and the biospheres around there. Also, they do the big canoe ride paddles. And so and some schools allow their kids to go in the canoe, some don't. And so that's one of the challenges. And so we work with them. And then also they're going to talk a little bit about some of the really great proactive things that they have created based on the pandemic, because most of the things that they were doing was very hands-on and it was in person, and how they've taken this, the pandemic, and has turned it into some really great educational opportunities for still hands-on, but in a new, you know, in a new formulated in a different way. So she's going to be really great to talk about. And then depending, I may have something else. Marley Milosevic is part of our monitoring team, and she is in charge of the stream health report, and that is due to come out in April. We'll be presenting to the council is what we're citing for. So I've got I've asked her to give a presentation at the May meeting, so that she'll be able to talk about the stream health report. We'll probably also have Jeff Strom will come in and probably at the March meeting have him talk about kind of more of the capital infrastructure and more of that, just so that everybody kind of has a better understanding of that, and kind of the 6-year plan and some of the things that we're looking at. And then I have Julie Christian, who is Henry Shattenkirk's protege. He's our mapping GIS guy, and he came in October and gave a presentation about our mapping program and procedures. She is working on that, but her previous career was the fetch management in the county. So she's going to be talking about, and she's also responsible for running the Schreiber reforestation grant program that we have. And so she's going to talk about our reforestation projects and the programs. When we were able to do a field trip, I think it was in 2019, she gave a really great tour of some of the different facilities. So, I'm working in having Scott Melville, our code enforcement, is planning on coming in. So, and I haven't quite got him scheduled yet. Figured I would wait and see kind of how things shake out. Let me know if there's anybody else that, or any organizations or programs that you would like to have come in and present. That's kind of where I'm going with this, to kind of get the education aspect of it, because there's about half, a little bit over half of the commissioners, this is new information for them, so that way everybody's up to speed and able to advise a little bit easier. And also, I think things have changed. It's just always amazing how technology and even just the sheer amount of growth in our department and in the county. One of the things I wanted to bring up was the bylaws. I would like to suggest that for the next meeting, if we have a quorum on the 30th, if not for the March meeting, that we talk about changing some of the aspects of the bylaws. Couple different areas. The first one, I think it might be easiest to, on the working groups, to and I haven't quite figured out the verbiage yet, so if anybody has anything, please let me know. But something along the lines of, instead of specifically identifying, there must be research, education, outreach, and partnerships. Oh, and you can add anybody else. You can add an extra one if so desired. Potentially, just say work groups will be, created, and we can do that for example. But this then offers a lot more flexibility for you, because sometimes I think that some work groups seem to get constrained, like, I don't want to do this, I want to do this. Or like, in the pandemic, it was education outreach wasn't able to do for about a year, wasn't able to do anything because there was no outreach or, meeting with people. I think it would be easier to allow us some more flexibility that way for you guys to be able to, if you want to have a capital planning group or you wanted to combine education and partnerships together and have one, or you wanted to do more with the diversity and environmental justice, gives you a lot more flexibility down the road of where you want to go and what you want to see. So that was one of the things that, having sat in on the partnerships group and also just some of the conversations over the last couple months, I think that would be. Hi, Roger. So I think that that might actually be might be a really good opportunity for everybody to have that flexibility. The other change that I would like to suggest, it comes out, and it's happened like the last two times that I've, or even three really, with the annual report with the attendance. What I would suggest is maybe eliminating the excused absence portion of the of the requirement, and having it be that excused absences are allowed, because we had the situation where Matt and Charlie were able to make it to the originally scheduled September or July meeting, but not able to make it to the rescheduled one. And they shouldn't be punished because they had arranged their personal vacations and trips around the original date, and then it got moved, or just other things, things come up. So, or potentially dropping the 75% required attendance. I think we've got a really great group where we don't necessarily have the attendance issues, but if we wanted to keep that in there, you could, and just have it be, that potentially, I think it's still available if that's something that we needed, you wanted to still have in case somebody does just drop off the face of the earth. But those are a couple things that I would like to suggest that I've thought about over the past couple years, and I was talking with Justin about it, and that was one of the things that, especially with the committees, I think that there might be an opportunity there to allow a lot more flexibility for you. Is this something that you would like to pursue, or are you comfortable in just leaving the bylaws the way they are?
I think they're not critical, but those are really good points. I think that would give us, particularly your point on the working groups, more flexibility in the future. And I think the attendance is definitely something that should be taken with a grain of salt if there's, circumstances that apply. So would you mind putting those suggestions into just some type of draft writing? And if we can get that out, a ways ahead of the next meeting, then folks can kind of ponder it and add some edits to come to the meeting and probably put a final together to approve. I think that would be good. Those points you brought up, I think, are well taken, and I've heard versions of those talked about before by others. So I think you'd find some ground with that.
And that's one of the things I was thinking about, and I plan on actually getting them out this next week.
How is Vincent? So our group talked about not having those, especially public outreach. You can't do public outreach. We don't need those titles. So we discussed that at our last meeting. So that's a good idea. As far as attendance, I just want people to know that in the past, we have had problems with people not showing up. And then there was no way, you could use that to boot them off the commission if they're not going to do their promise that they'd show up six times a year. So that has been an issue in the past. So I don't know if we totally want to get rid of that. I know we have a great group now, but just something to consider.
could consider changing the threshold and allowing a certain number of excused absences also.
Yeah.
Or maybe look at unexcused absences differently than excused ones.
Or absent, it's saying if attendance is, some kind of disclaimer that it would be grounds to, be dismissed from the commission or...
Yeah, all good points in that regard.
Thank you. So I'll get those out in this next week. And if there's anything that in particular new commissioners that you would like, I mean, we only have an hour and a half, and the Enviroscape will definitely take up at least a half hour. So if there's anything else that you would like to see, let me know, and I'll try to get it in there. We'll get everything out. And then, when it comes time for the, annual report, if you have changes, you have suggestions, let's send them back and I will, to me, and we'll try to get everything edited, and then I can send out another finalized draft in the next 2 weeks. And then you'll have at least another week or two to be able to review it. So if there are things, so we're not spending the entire meeting, reviewing and saying, oh, there's a space here that's missing. And I will definitely go back through it again. Justin and I found a hanging widow orphan sentence. I have no idea, but... anyway, that's kind of, I think, the primary things I'm thinking about is we'll get, any feedback, please feel free to give them back to me, and I'll work on it, get it done, and get them back out to you here in the next 2 weeks so that everybody has a chance to review it. And the other thing I do want to make sure everybody knows, special meetings, if you do have the quorums, five, and it's not a problem at all. If you want to have a big group meeting, we just have to follow the special meeting procedures, which is we need to give 24 hours notice. So it's not onerous. And if I have a week's notice, I can actually get it published in the Columbian. So, that's not a problem either. So, if there's something there, let me know and we can definitely, work towards making sure that it's, meeting your needs. So, if there is a group, and, I know when Eric was talking about the number of people attending a conference, you're not presenting, you're not representing the Clean Water Commission, and you're not doing action items, you're not voting on things, you're just going as an individual to learn. But if you were up there and you were potentially talking and creating policy or things along those lines, that's when you might have an issue. But we've had conversations with the staff attorney to make sure that it's okay. And that is one of the things that it is okay for you to attend. We can't have more than five people attend a conference or, the Stormwater Partners, symposium and things like that. So, and I even ran it by him again just to make sure because, Brendan, was presenting a portion. So I wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything there and it was not an issue. So, I do have that, available for you guys. Order everybody's, and when I realized, I hope I don't jinx this. I love my face. I'm hoping that I don't jinx this because I was thinking today that I want to order everybody's, name badges. Because it takes a couple months to get them. So I want to try and get that done for you so that if we can meet in person, we can have the, you guys can have your name badges and all of that. So anyway, and that's the end of my report. I don't think I have anything else.
Also, I got a quick question. This is Jeff. The March 9th training, what time of day is that going to occur?
I want to say it was towards the end of the day. I want to say it was like 4 to 5:30. There was only one like time period that everybody was able to meet.
4:30 to 6.
4:30 to 6. Thank you.
4:30 to 6. There it is. And you should have gotten a, we can either do it in Teams or we could do it, via WebEx. So Eric and I are going to do a practice run, to see what format works the best for, him and his presentation with all the equipment and things that we have. So, from there.
Is it at all possible to wait until the mask mandate is lifted and we could actually do it in person? Is that a possibility?
Alice, you can answer this better than I can, but it seems unfortunately that the county has a different rule on meeting in person than the mask mandate timeline.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, and even then, and I know it's still fluid, and I know a lot of it still depends on you know, it's LNI is what's driving it, and our safety professionals go off of what LNI is recommending. So even though the CDC is saying, and it's based on area, your county. So I actually went and looked up various counties. And it's actually a low risk in King County. It's a green low risk that, you know, it's okay because they have such a high level of people who have been vaccinated and their transmission rates are very, very low. But Pierce County is and Cowlitz County are high. They're still going to be, according to the CDC guidelines, you are still highly encouraged or required to wear your mask indoors. And then Clark County and like Mason County and some of the other ones, they're a medium risk where it's still recommended, but not necessarily required, you know, and you should talk with your health official, about your personal aspects and needs. But so it's just still all up in the air. And of course, you know, 5 days from now, maybe Pi will come out or on March 24th, they may find the new variant Pi. So, or March 14th. So who knows, you know, I have
unless the county manager changes the county policy. It's
yeah, until we hear
another is required.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. I'm still hopeful for summer, fall, but it potentially could be longer than that. I don't know. So I guess, and that's up to you guys. If you, it's a really great visual to understand better about watersheds and to have that understanding and how the different things are impacted. Definitely you lose some by not being in person. And that's one of the reasons also we're going to test it. And if it doesn't work, then we won't, you know, it's meaningless. So, that's one of the things that Eric and I are going to be working on this week.
I understand Roger's, you know, question of wanting to do it in person. Are there others that are interested in that and moving that to another time before we move on the agenda with this, or what would be the interest level of waiting?
This is Josh. I'm interested in meeting in person when we're able to.
This is Sandra. If it's a time constraint, like it needs to be done within the next month or so, I would say given the difficulty in schedules, already just scheduling this time, I would say probably virtual, but if it doesn't have a time constraint and can go out for a month or two in the event that schedules don't work, in person probably would be a richer experience.
Well, then I think we can do all the policy stuff via video and do the EnviroScape demonstration whenever we're able to actually physically meet.
I think that sounds like a good idea. If that's not something we need to vote on, are we able to just run with that proposal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've been working on the curriculum, and so that was one of the things that to kind of help with more of that.
Good deal. I know there was a hello and you've spoken, but just for the recorded record, Roger is in attendance now.
Sorry, I got, I lost the link, but I found it. Different computer.
No problem. Happy you're able to join us.
No worries.
Alice, I didn't want to cut you off before I jump to working groups. Are you good on your end?
I am finished. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Outreach.
So we met on February 4th, and we are discussing actually educational training orientation materials. So we have some ideas. Roger had a really nice watershed map. And we are going to meet again on Friday, and then we should have something for the group.
Are we meeting this Friday, Marie?
Yeah, did you get the email, Matt?
I don't think so, and okay. I don't think I would be able to make it then.
Okay, we could do it next week. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
If you're available. That's kind of what's on our plate right now. And we had talked about the groups, you know, diversifying, and if we could just say, you know, in the bylaws, three groups or four groups, depending on the need of the clean water department. Just to be more.
Yeah, I know Michelle, who's not in attendance this evening, had voiced a similar idea last I talked with her as well. So I think we'll have momentum going that direction. We could do something formal about that in the coming meeting.
And then, Matt, did we have any update on the Salmon Safe?
No update. I haven't heard anything since last year, so I'm not sure that that's going to be moving forward with the county.
Justin may be off, but he had said that he had followed back up with Rocky about it.
Okay.
And so there may be, I don't know quite where it had gone, but, cause he had mentioned that, that they had, and Justin just left. So, that he was going to circle back and potentially talk about it. So I have a meeting with him tomorrow. So.
Okay.
I can find out more.
Peter just froze and he might just pop back in. And that's all at this time. Roger, did you want to add anything?
Well, I might. Vancouver Lake is actually joining us on the 1st of April for training in cyanobacteria monitoring on both Vancouver and Lacamas Lakes. And that was kind of a big deal. And I want to thank you guys for hooking me up to them. That's about it.
That's it, Brendan.
Nice. Good stuff. Thank you guys very much. Partnerships.
Yeah, I've got that update. This is Jeff. Partnerships Working Group met twice in February. First meeting was on February 11th with the three commissioners on the working group, Michelle, Sandra, and myself, Jeffrey, when we met with Justin Maynard to discuss how the partnership working group can best help with what the county needs to accomplish. The partnership working group historically has been involved in support of grant work. Since the commission's working group organization was set up, Eric Lambert's work building partnerships and conducting outreach has expanded to meet changing county stormwater permit requirements. We discussed the current organization's roles and challenges that exist. One possible future direction identified was to support future planning activities. And we came away with a need to understand and assess just what are all the current partnerships and where do they stand. And Eric was volunteered to help put some of that information together. Second meeting was on February 25th. Again, the three commissioners, and we met with Eric Lambert to discuss all the existing partnerships and their status. We had an hour scheduled, and we were only able to get halfway through the list, unfortunately. So some good discussion there, trying to just get our hands around what all is being done with partnerships. We are trying to figure out scheduling for a second meeting to complete going over the list that Eric had put together. That's it.
You guys are being very productive. Done. Thank you, Jeff.
I hope it's productive. Some of it's just, you know, understanding how can we be more productive.
Yeah, well, yeah, a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But great on the meeting. Two in a month, too, so.
Yeah, I would just echo exactly what Jeff said, as well as what Marie said about a discussion regarding how is that the right working group, right? And it ties in with what you're attempting to do, Alice, is really just, in a sense, free us up to determine what is really need. How can we best add value through working groups, whichever direction that is. So there was a similar conversation about that as well.
Yeah, I know we'll be talking about this further, but what part of my mind is thinking about in the short term on this conversation is just that, like, the thing that hangs us up is giving the working group a title, and perhaps when you just got group A, B, and C, your flexibility goes wherever the work takes you. Research. Josh, are you still on right now?
Yep. We have not organized anything yet.
Yeah, I know. I can say it feels like time flew by since the last meeting there, and very little extra space in between. So, I'll do a better job about trying to get together. The rest of the groups are throwing some shade on us, though.
So. Yeah, they're making us look bad. Yeah, so it looks like it's me, you, and Bob Trost. So since I'm supposed to be the head on that, I will have to take the initiative in organizing and get together.
Right on. We'll be in touch. Look forward to it. Next on the agenda, I know we have the annual report there. Your mouth again here, Alice, but if I heard you right, we can send those to you so that we can kind of start incorporating those and move closer to a final draft for the next time we meet to be able to make any final decisions on and approve it. So if everybody has time to find between now and the next meeting to look at that and give it a review, that would be great. You have the item in here on the DEI incorporation with the mission. I don't know if you want to speak on that. I know we discussed a little bit of this in the past and kind of left it as a consideration for where it can fit in our mission objectives, but there wasn't anything solid that we were incorporating at this time.
No, just at the October meeting, the commission wanted to keep it on as a standing item, so on the agenda, so that if there was items of intersectionality or with the mission or potentially, you know, going in and looking and finding things that really resonate with you, or there was a lot of discussion about working towards with some of the census data, or how to expand the recruitment process you know, identifying groups and a lot of those kind of things. So, it was just left on there, as a standing agenda item, and it was kind of at the commission's pleasure of how you wanted to, approach it. And it could be different each time, or potentially even, I know one time there was, one of the meetings, there was a discussion about, having the, a full meeting set aside for it.
I mean, if anybody has an agenda to that effect to bring forward. I think we're all, go ahead. Yeah, Roger.
What is the commission's goals in relation to DEI?
I can speak in only really expressing my own take on that, Roger, which is that it has been brought forward into most organizational conversations over the last 2 years, and as such, it got on the agenda with this organization as well. So there's been a review of where we incorporate that or examine that into the work we do or how we represent the community as a body. And so my take on that is that we reflect that into the work we do with the community to make sure we're keeping an eye towards equity and inclusion of the community as a whole, and then also if there's ways that we can expand our recruitment to be the most representative of the community. But my take on this as an agenda item is that outside of that, we're mindful of it, and it's not really incorporated as a regular item or something that we're working towards under a particular project right now.
If, in my view, if we keep all of the diversity issues on the plate whenever we're doing any kind of a project, I think will be money ahead. And as long as we keep an awareness of the whole process, I think we're going to be a lot better off. But taking time to actually build a whole structure for it, I don't know if that's all that valuable, because most of us kind of understand it.
I agree with you on that.
One of the things that I'll pitch in on this conversation is that as part of the 20-year plan, one of the goals that we have is to include at least some consideration for environmental justice. And when we start diving more into what that looks like and have the, you know, the staff time to get there with it, that's something that the commission may be able to help with.
And it seems to be becoming more of a permit-driven requirement. So that's also part of it.
Which is all the more reason to consider adding that flexibility into the bylaws regarding the working groups, because if that does become a big enough issue, then that's something that... And again, I mean, I'm not telling you guys to do this. This is all up to you, but having that flexibility later on to decide what to do with that, I think will be handy.
And if you haven't had an opportunity, I would really strongly suggest that you go and listen to Tanya Settle's presentation for the September meeting. Last year's September meeting, we'll do a really good job of helping kind of doing some of that connection of why this is important with what we do, and may help with some of the connection there on it affecting underserved populations. And how, you know, stormwater affects different areas.
Right. Next, I've got any new business or general discussion? Not seeing any. I think I can move us to adjourning before 8 o'clock here. Alrighty. I was going to ask if Justin and Alice can hang on for a second after the meeting. I had a question for you guys that I was going to pitch after the kind of closed out. But otherwise, thank you everybody for making it in this evening, contributing the time as always, and look forward to seeing you next time.
Good night.
Have a good evening.
Hi, everyone.